Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
God, listen to that heavy metal guitar. It means one thing and one thing only. The greatest heavy metal singer ever, Pat Boone, must have a birthday.
What song would this be? Have you recognized it yet?
I haven't recognized it yet.
Let's see.
Hear those pitch harmonics. Here it comes. Oh, Van Halen. This is Van Halen covered this song in 1984.
Uh-huh.
And they did really well on it.
What's that sound?
Oh my gosh, he's just...
This was covered by Pat in 1997.
Yep. No, Van Halen covered Pat's. You got that wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So many great metal influences.
No doubt about it.
I think Iron Maiden, Pat Boone was a big influence on them.
Absolutely.
Judas Priest, as we just heard. I mean, Van Halen obviously covered Pat Boone's Panama that we just heard. So it is the heavy metal legend, Pat Boone's.
We talked to him birthday. 3 years ago this very day. He also covered Ozzy. Are you ready?
Let's hear it, baby.
Hey, but that's how it goes.
Pat Boone there. How about that, baby? As we go to him right now, the living legend, Pat Boone. Hey, Pat, how are you, sir?
Yes, I am living. So I'm a legend, yeah.
And listen, man, you are a legend. And I got to tell you, this new song that you've got is absolutely fantastic. And we want to get to that. We want to play some of it. Right here. Here, listen to this, man.
Okay, yeah.
Get along. If I offer you my hand, would you refuse?
This song, Pat Boone,
we've all got,
you said that this was one of the most important projects that you've done. Tell us, at 86 years old, and by the way, you sound great, man. Tell us what inspired you for this.
It was in 1992 when Rodney King was beat up so badly. He was resisting arrest, yes, but he didn't deserve to be almost killed in the beating, which was videotaped and, of course, sparked the L.A. riots, which tore L.A. apart for several weeks. And when he came out of the hospital, all still puffy from his beatings, he could have said something inflammatory. Instead, he said, "Can't we get along? Can't we work it out? Can't we be friends?" And I cried then. I thought, wow, this man is not defending himself in any way. He was a criminal, but he didn't deserve what happened, and he's just calling for humanity. And I waited for Peter, Paul, and Mary to write somebody like that to write a song. They didn't, so I did. And I didn't have a way to record it right then, so I sang it with black choruses around L.A. And then it lay there for over 30 years until these riots were tearing America apart, and I realized it's what we needed now. So it was not for me, white boy Pat Boone from Nashville, to sing it. I needed a great black artist like Wendy Moten,
yeah. And
she is that, a new Mariah Carey, and Jimmy Nichols, the producer, and a black chorus in Nashville, and we did the song, produced the song and the video. Then a genius videographer named Tom Roach put together film clips from the actual news broadcast across the country during the riots, where you see ordinary Americans, men and women, black and white, kids, adults, police, protesters, reaching out to each other, communicating, trying to embrace, trying to pray together, trying to let each other know, I respect you, how can I help? And this was all happening in the midst of the riots. This is what makes it so moving to see. And then the song captures all of that. I love the line, if you look right into my eyes, you might see straight into my heart. And that was happening in the carnage of the riots all over the country. And we chronicled it in the video. And now the song the video is almost 6 million on my Facebook page alone, but on YouTube and now on radio across the country. And it is calling for the beginnings. I mean, we're not going to get any real actions, anything's changed, unless people communicate on a level of equality and caring. And it has to start in the heart. That's why the song is calling for heart connections and the realization that we're all created equal with the same right to pursue happiness, and we need to help each other along the way and be helped. And to esteem and really nurture each other. So the song, I'm hoping, can be the song of 2020 with the corona and all the other problems with tearing us apart.
Yeah, we definitely need some good news. Now, this isn't, you talked about equality. Way back in the day, African-American artists didn't have a platform for the most part, and you were one of the few that would give artists that platform on your show. Talk about some of the artists you helped nurture along, speaking of nurture, and did you get backlash for that approach to entertainment?
Well, of course, thanks for the realization of the fact, which is that black artists at that time, they were doing what was called race music. It was literally called, it was rhythm and blues, it wasn't rock and roll, there was no rock and roll in the mid-50s. It was rhythm and blues and pop, and the two, there was a gulf between them. Pop radio knew nothing about what was going on in the R&B world until I, Elvis, and some others began to record some of those songs that were so hooky and fun, and we were doing our versions and calling them rock and roll. That phrase rock and roll was kind of had erotic connotation in the black community at that time. Let's rock and roll all night long, babe. No, this was going to be dancing like Rock Around the Clock. Bill Haley. But the song is an outgrowth of unity that we created as we recognized each other. I did their songs, brought them on my TV shows, Little Richard and Fat, and all these other artists. And it brought them over into an audience that knew nothing of them. And they knew it, and we were a brotherhood of music and spirituality and caring.
Talking with the great Pat Boone, I don't mind to tell you unapologetically, I've been an admirer of yours for quite some time, not just because I grew up with your music in my house, but also I want to talk about something. I want to find out if this is true or not. You're a strong Christian. You were strong in your faith, so much to the point where you were offered movie roles opposite of Marilyn Monroe, other movie roles, other songs, but you declined it because you thought it might compromise your beliefs. All the way to the point where at one time you were asked for an on-screen kiss. It was not in the script, and you said, you know what? Let's put a pin in, let's pause this. I got to ask my wife first. Is that a true story?
That is precisely true. Yeah, because I was only 21 years old, 22 maybe, and married and having a child a year and, you know, caring about my wife, my faith. And the thing was, the movie career happened so fast, unexpectedly, that, you know, it was not in the script. I hadn't even discussed the idea of movie kisses with my wife. So, I mean, that sounds naive if you're an actor, but I hadn't intended to be an actor. And there I was suddenly acting, and in the midst of this scene with Shirley Jones, the director says, now look, lean in at the end of this song on the Ferris wheel in Kentucky and give her a gentle kiss on the... And I said, on the mouth? He said, yes. I said, but that's not in the script, Henry. He said, no, but we want to see you kiss your leading lady. I said, well, can we do this at some other point in the film? Because I want to talk to my own wife to see if it's going to be a problem about me kissing our friend Shirley Jones half the day. And because, you know, you don't just do it once, you do it over. You rehearse it and you do it over and over. And he shook his head and said, well, this is a great place, but okay. Well, it hit the papers, the Hollywood papers, the Variety, the Hollywood Reporter. The next day, that an actor, Pat Boone, had refused to kiss the leading lady. They assumed it was for religious reasons. And I kept trying to say when I had a chance, no, I just wanted to stay married. And I talked to my wife, of course, that night after that. I objected to the kiss when he first proposed it. And she said, look, I'm ahead of you. I know if you're going to be doing movie acting, and looks like you are, you have a 7-year contract at 20th. There's going to be some kissing called for, but promise me one thing. I said, anything. She said, you won't enjoy it. I said, oh, I promise okay. I won't enjoy it. Well, I came back to the studio ready to kiss Shirley Jones. But the newspapers were having a field day with me having refused to kiss Shirley Jones. They thought religious reasons. And the studio, 20th Century Fox, was being flooded with letters and telegrams and phone calls. Stick to your guns, boy. Lasser, somebody in show business has got some morals. And then on the other hand, people calling, you don't want to kiss her? Let me come out there. I'll kiss her.
45 million records sold, Pat Boone. God bless you. Thanks for all the music you provided for us. Thanks for what you've done for race relations in this nation. And by the way, thank you for this song to inspire dialogue. And that's what this nation needs more than anything, Pat. And
bye.
There you go.
Wow, Pat Boone on his 89th birthday, is that right?
89 years young today.
Wow, I'd forgotten we even did that interview, Dave, so good pull on that one.
what a sharp guy.
Yeah, no kidding, man. His voice still sounded great. I want to let everybody know, today is the day I'm talking about iHeartRadio Access Day. Now, this gives you an opportunity to get access to a lot of cool things that normally you couldn't purchase. You could maybe do this as a gift or maybe do it as plan your vacation around. Cool things like a flyaway to Nashville, Tennessee to see Mario Lopez while on the set of his new holiday movie. Chef Tyler Florence, you could get a flyaway out to San Francisco and then fly back with Tony Vannetti, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no doubt.
But while you're out there, have Chef Tyler Florence actually prepare you a meal. Flyaways for LL Cool J, the ones that we're looking at is stuff like Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind & Fire, all kinds of great stuff up there. Plus, local things from our partners here, like my favorite place, The Fireplace. They have Element Air. They have Sausaritas, all kinds of stuff on there, including unlimited landscapes. So to get access to this, just go to iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. Stick around. We're going to find out what our money's doing. Then later at the bottom of the hour, his new record comes out tonight at midnight. It is the outlaw country musician, Dallas Moore. We're going to talk about his new record, No God in Juarez. Stick around for that on News Radio 840 WHAS. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure today might be iHeart Media Access Day.
Why it is.
I'm going to dig into that and find out if it in fact is, then we'll let you know on here on News Radio 840 WHAS. Dave Jennings, Dwight Whitten, rolling on through your Baby Friday. Welcome to Thursday.
You know me, I like headlines, right?
Yes, you do. You love headlines.
This is one you would probably say click on. Headline, survey says 80% of men bring condoms to funerals. You wouldn't think you need one anymore, would you?
Well, no. So is this intentionally, or is this the guy that keeps the old 15-year-old dry condom in his wallet that's not useful?
You've seen my wallet. So
they intentionally bring a condom to the funeral?
A new study sponsored by Trojan Condoms finds that 80% have brought protection to a funeral. They asked 2,000 adults ages 18 to 35. One of the questions asked how prepared they get when attending a funeral or celebration of life. And as icky as it might sound to open up something while people are mourning, sexologist Patty Britton says there happens to be a connection between grief and libido.
Really?
Quote, the grief trajectory is about a loss of closeness, a loss of intimacy. That's why our libido kicks in to fill that. I'm sorry, I can't imagine.
I don't operate that way. And listen.
I can't imagine if Grandpa died that the way that I ease my grief... is with someone else at that moment.
Now, granted, anytime the wind blows, I get excited, but not during a funeral or loss of a loved one.
I wouldn't think so. Again, these are 18 to 35-year-olds.
Okay, well, there you go.
We're 50-something-year-old people.
Yeah, we're out of the demo. There was something I was going to tell Courtney Donahoe.
Did you ever meet someone at a funeral, Courtney?
Yeah.
No. However, Irish funerals are always quite fun.
Is there any drinking?
There's a time.
Is there any drinking that goes on?
You have to.
Not at all. Absolutely not. We go to church.
Oh. Whatever.
Yes. We're good like that. Yeah, no. Irish funerals, actually, my uncle's, we all talk about, was just such a great day. I actually have a picture of my whole entire family, all of us holding up Coors Lights. We actually brought to the...
So bad. Perfect.
I think it's beautiful.
Creepy. We brought a cooler of beer to her.
Of course.
She was 99, so she lived a wonderful life, and she would have absolutely loved that we did this. And we brought coolers of beer over to the cemetery, and we toasted her at her grave.
Did you do the rapper
video?
Yeah,
we took a whole big family picture there.
Did you do the rapper video thing and pour a little bit down on the gravesite and all that and start doing gang signs?
No, that would have ruined her good dress. So we couldn't have done that.
How many?
Then she would have killed us for that.
How many of your brothers and cousins would have packed condoms just in case?
Right, yeah. Oh,
you know there's a couple goodness. Of them.
Right.
No.
No, this is a story.
Because it's all relatives, so who wants to do that?
You're right.
We're calling from Kentucky.
We are.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going.
I don't know how I need to explain that to you, that, you don't do that with your relatives.
I don't want this to sound weird or nothing, but my cousin sister's looking really good.
awful.
Forgot what I was going to ask you now.
You haven't seen her, Courtney.
What do you can't remember what you had to ask?
No, and it was something important.
Really?
Well,
okay.
Poop. I can't think of it.
Do you like your salmon white and flaky or pink and fleshy?
Oh, you like your pink? Yeah, because I smoked salmon last night. I brought my salmon in. I wish you could have seen the text string between me and Dave last night.
Why don't you put me? You should throw me on them, and I'll watch your.
You can hang.
Okay.
Strings about fish.
Do you like it white and flaky, or do you like it pink and fleshy?
You guys are awful.
No, seriously.
It's a legit salmon question.
It's a salmon question.
Don't go upstream on us here.
The salmon's always like pink.
All right. That's how I like it, too. Yeah. He likes it white and flaky. I like it pink.
What kind of fish are you eating?
Salmon.
I've never seen that. I don't know. Maybe they don't have that.
It's when you overcook it, it becomes
white.
When
you have fresh caught salmon cooked right, it is white and flaky.
Or overcooked. Oh. Hey, Dave, you're not a cook my steak. Well done, guy, are you?
No. I like pink.
Okay, good.
Not red and bloody, just pink.
Okay.
But see, I'm lox on a bagel girl. I like lox on a bagel. That's a state food here in New York. So.
That's one extra step.
You guys are awful.
We better get to
How
the
good
money
is
report.
The bagel if you have to lock it?
Oh, my goodness. You need to get a tip jar out and just throw in money for every silly joke you two do.
I know.
I'm taken.
Or maybe you just should send me the money. You know, sending me the money would be great.
It's on the way.
Anytime I have to sit through one of these jokes, you can.
You love it.
By the way, today is Oscar the Grouch Day.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They actually made that character after a New York cab driver. Did you know that?
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
They're delightful folks.
It was in the 60s, late 60s. The inspiration for Oscar the Grouch came from... New York cab drivers.
Oh, no, that's typical. You just get in there and you don't say anything and you just hope you get
to your destination. Everybody was nice in New York and now they're not today.
Yeah, right, I know.
No, they are. You know, when you talk to them once in a while, you know, but yeah, I could see the little bit of grumpiness there. Because they have to deal with so many, again, dealing with all the tourists. Everybody else is taking the subway. Aww.
There he is.
There you go.
Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. If you really want to see something trash.
Speaking of trash, let's get our money report. Trash all of our hopes and dreams for retirement.
Actually, do you know, I'm going to talk about trash. Boston's Fenway Park, once again, the most expensive ballpark for families to visit.
Nice dig.
Yes, I love those Red Sox. Taking a family of four to see the Red Sox, $374.
Oh.
According to a report from the Sporting Post, that's $228 more than what you would pay to see the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, and that's a lot of it goes into parking, but man, the Fenway concessions, crazy.
Forget about it.
Oh, insane. But stocks are edging higher. The House passing the debt ceiling deal. This means the bill will be sent to the Senate just days before this default deadline on Monday. The S&P right now up 0.6%. The Dow up 100 points. It's quite interesting to try to do a report with Oscar the Grouch singing behind you. With the News Radio 840 WHAS Bloomberg Money Report, I'm Courtney Donahoe.
Anything ragged or rotten or rusty.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
WHAS.
I was talking to a preacher and he opened up my eyes about the way that I've been living and all them lady friends of mine. So I quit doing all them things me and my buddies think is fun. I quit smoking marijuana. I quit carrying my gun.
That is the first single off the new album, No God in Juarez. I'm talking about Dallas Moore. Hey, good morning, Dallas. How you doing?
Top of the morning, mi amigo.
Hey, that's right. Listen, this new record, absolutely fantastic. That's the new single. But let's go back to the beginning of this record because from what I understand, this record is 2 decades in the making, 20 years in the making on this record. And it's really special to you because you're 17 years old. You hear this concert playing in a bar and you say, you know what? I can't get in the bar, but I'm going to sneak in. You and your friends, you sneak into this bar, you see somebody perform and it changed your life. And I go as far as to say, sneaking in that bar is the reason you're performing today. Is there truth to that? And if so, tell the story.
I think that'd be just about par for the course there. Yeah. And that would be true. Yeah. I got my first guitar back when I was 16 years old. And when I was 17, we had always heard on the radio about an artist named Billy Gant and his band Billy Gant and the Vigilantes. And they were just one of the biggest acts playing around Cincinnati, Ohio, and then all over Kentucky as well at the time. And this would have been in like 1987. And so anyways, I had my first guitar for about a year and, you know, was kind of just getting started on everything. And so me and my friends decided we found out that Billy Gant and the Vigilantes were playing. They were actually the house band at a place called Doty's, which was this little honky tonk in my hometown of Norwood, Ohio, which is right there, in Cincinnati, the Cincinnati area. And, they used to have live music, you know, seven nights a week at several different little bars and honky tonks around town, because there were so many factories, you know, in Norwood back in the day. And so there was music of, you know, whatever you wanted to hear, country or bluegrass or rock and roll, heavy metal, even jazz and blues and stuff, so, and bluegrass. So anyways, we found out that Billy Gant was playing at Doty's, and so we decided, well, let's try to get in there. And so we snuck in, and not only did they not kick us out, I think Billy kind of took us under his wing and let us get up on stage with his band and start playing. And he's kind of took us under his wing, and I think we might have even snuck a few beers from around the bar that night, which was pretty big deal on a school night, you know. And so we used to have to go take the draft beer down and get a milk jug filled up with it, or get some Little Kings or something like that. But here we was right in the middle of the honky tonk amongst them, you know. And anyways, back in those days, every country band worth their salt, there was a house band back in the 80s. They had what was called a bunkhouse rail up, you know, that kind of separated the stage from the crowd. I seen Billy Gant in there, and he's dressed head to toe in black leather, and just killing the crowd. And he jumps up on that bunkhouse rail and took his hat off and did a headstand on there, and did a shot of Jim Beam upside down, and then he did a backflip off of the bunkhouse rail.
Wow.
And he had a 100-foot-long microphone cord back in those days, and he got the two prettiest girls in the bar and had them on each arm, and he went running through that crowd, and my mind was blown. And I said, man, I want to be that guy when I grow up.
I actually have some live Billy Gant. You want to hear it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is the Ballad of Reuben Dixon.
Well, that's what...
The Ballad of Reuben Dixon, yeah.
Well, it was in the midnight hour of July 17. I was on my way to Birmingham. I just turned 23. I thought I'd stop in Knoxville.
So this is Billy Gant. You can hear the influence he has on you in this record.
That's Billy's original version of Reuben Dixon.
Okay, let's play your new cover of this, and I want to talk about the record from No God in Juarez, Ballad of Reuben Dixon. Wow, I had no idea how similar. Listen to that guitar run. Wow.
It was in the midnight hour of July 17. I was on my way to Birmingham. I just turned 23. I thought I'd stop in Knoxville to see what I could see. I pulled into a tavern, a little place called Willie D's. The jukebox that was playing lent all my mind the night that I shot Reuben Dixon down.
I picked up your album last night. Now, by the way, the album No God in Juarez, it comes out tonight at midnight. You and your label, you were gracious enough to give me an advanced copy that I listened to, and I'll tell you what, couldn't get enough of this song right here. But I want to go back to talking about Billy Gant's story, because to the best of my knowledge, this record, it's 20 years in the making. And by the way, it's a tribute to Billy Gant, because they're all Billy Gant covers. Is that accurate?
Yeah, Billy wrote all of these songs, and so after I met Billy in 87, Billy I went on, you know, and started, you know, trying to make my way, you know, playing country music, and Billy went on, and he was at the top of his game all through the late 80s and early 90s, and he was touring with Johnny Paycheck, and who just celebrated a birthday yesterday. It was,
yeah.
Paycheck's birthday, but Billy was touring with Johnny Paycheck and David Allen Coe and Hank Williams Jr. and Ernest Tubb, and he was just on fire, and he was really starting to make a big name for himself nationwide. When tragedy struck, and a lady ran a red light, and he was involved in a very bad automobile accident, and he suffered a traumatic brain injury, and he was in a coma for many, many years. And then one day, against all odds, and coming back from the brink of death, Bill woke up, and he had to spend another 5 years rehabilitating and literally learning to walk and talk and everything after coming from off of that traumatic brain injury and the coma and everything. And something happened to him after the after that accident, and he was no longer physically able to do the performing like he had been. You know, he wasn't doing backflips off the bunkhouse rail anymore. Mm-mm. You know, as you'd say, but something happened to him when he was during all those 13 years that he was away, and he just became one of the most prolific songwriters of our time, definitely of my time, you know. And I've been friends with Billy, you know, throughout everything. It's our friendship has spanned over 30 years now. And around the early 2000s, he and I co-wrote a song called Outlaw Country, and that was actually at a David Allan Coe concert. And Billy came up to me and handed me half of the song and said, "Here, finish it off, and we'll go halvesies." And so I co-wrote that song with him. And right around that time, I started telling Billy, "Man, one of these days I'm gonna record a full album just of all your songs." And it's taken all this time for our schedules and the stars to align, and finally here in 2023, I think we first started talking about around the year 2001, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
So over 20 years we finally got around to doing this, and so we've recorded this album, No God and War Is, and it features all songs written by Billy Gantt. And it's also a new beginning for me and a new chapter in my music career, in that my new band, the new lineup for the Dallas Moore Band, was literally cemented and formed with the making of this record. And we have St. Nick Giese on lead guitar. And Nick has been a longtime friend of mine. I actually got him his first gig when he was 16 years old here in Cincinnati. But Nick was playing with David Allan Coe. And when Lucky Chucky, Chuck Morpurgo, who was my lead guitarist and best friend for 27 years.
And by the way, from the show, our condolences on the loss of him as well, Lucky Chucky.
Yeah, he's still with us every night, man. But when Chucky got sick, Nick was the first person to step up, and the first person that myself and Chucky even thought about, you know, getting to step in. And Nick had just recently left playing with David Allan Coe, and he came on board. And we got Brother Paul Priest from Breckenridge County, Kentucky, on bass guitar. And Paul's band with Jericho Woods was on hiatus. And he is also a bluegrass veteran, had played with the likes of Jimmy Martin and the Osborne Brothers and on the Grand Ole Opry several times. And we've been friends for several years. And we got Brother Mike Bernal from Austin, Texas, who had played for 13 years with Dale Watson and also with Gary P. Nunn for a couple years. And Mike had come on board. He'd been playing off and on with me since January of 2021. And then we got our brother Big Timber, Mike Owens from Louisville, Kentucky, who's been a longtime member of the Dallas Moore Band. The five of us got together during the making of this album, and that's what kind of cemented this as the next permanent lineup of the Dallas Moore Band and starting our new chapter and era. And then when we recorded the album, we just gathered the band in the studio, and then the only other person that we brought in to record this album was our friend Ricky Nye, who's a world-renowned boogie-woogie piano player, who just happened to begin his career for his first 3 years playing for Billy Gantt and the Vigilantes.
Wow.
So it was kind of full circle for all of us, and we were so excited and honored to be able to get Billy's songs out to the world now, and also to tell his story, because not only are his songs so cinematic, every one of his songs tells a story, and they're very cinematic, almost like a Quentin Tarantino movie or something. and Billy's story himself is so dramatic, you know, literally the triumph and tragedy of everything.
Yeah.
And he's came through all of it, and he's living to be here with us. He's 76 years old and kicking it, and he's in great health, and he'll be our guest of honor at our album release party, which is coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, the new record, No God and War Is, Dallas Moore, I've been waiting on this for a long, long time, and we've only got a couple of minutes, but in a minute I want you to tell me, in 60 seconds, the critic reception on this has been through the roof. I mean, I've heard stuff like most anticipated album of the year, Country People Magazine, what do they have to say about it?
Country Music People Magazine gave us a 5-star review.
Wow.
Really, really cool. And that's the largest country music magazine in the world. They're based out of London, England, and Austin, Texas, and Nashville, Tennessee. And yeah, they give us a 5-star review for No God Juarez, Saving Country Music, which is another very good blog, magazine, or rather. They listed us in the most anticipated albums of the year. And CincyMusic.com did a really nice interview and feature about the album and the release party and the making of the album and our whole history with Billy. And there's quite a bit more press stuff that's actually getting ready to come out. I know Honky Tonk Times, which is another really big country music magazine that we follow along with.
Give us the details of the release party. We only got a couple seconds left here.
Oh, yeah. Album release party at a Southgate House Revival in Newport, Kentucky, this Sunday, June the 4th. Doors open at 5 o'clock, and we go on the stage at 6 o'clock. Dallas Moore Band with special guest of honor Billy Gant, and tickets are available in advance at the Southgate House website or at the door while they last. And the first 200 people through the door get a free CD.
Wow, No God in Juarez. It comes out tonight, Dallas Moore. We're going to leave you with Truckin' Outlaw Blues. I see you're getting ready to do a run through Texas, New York City. I'm going to hope that we get a Louisville date. When we do, I'm going to announce it on the show and get you back on. Dallas Moore, great work on this new record, Hoss. Okay?
Appreciate it, brother.
I'll see you down the road, Dallas Moore.
Okay. Adios, amigos.
Adios, amigos.
Adios.
No God in Juarez. All right. Leaving you with Truckin' Outlaw Blues. Be back in just a minute. News Radio 840 WHAS.
In this rookie rodeo, and the only thing that keeps me going is a Truckin' Outlaw Blues.
There's the birthday boy, Pat Boone. News Radio 840 WHAS. Dwight Whitten, that's Dave Jennings. Make sure you join us tomorrow. Our guest will be Steve Heitner. He's going to be playing Friday and Saturday at Laugh Louisville at 4th Street Live. If you don't know who Steve Heitner is, he played Banya. Jerry! Go, Jerry! Go, Jerry!
Gold!
On Seinfeld. Hilarious guy. He will be our guest tomorrow. I'll catch him this weekend at Laugh Louisville.
Here is a little Pat Boone fact that he did not know this. He holds the record for having at least one single on the Billboard Pop charts for 220 consecutive weeks.
Wow!
220 weeks. So 4 years?
Wow! Absolutely incredible. Happy 89th birthday, Pat Boone. On behalf of Dave Jennings, it's Dwight Whitten saying we'll see you tomorrow. Clay and Buck up next, and Terry Miners, News Radio 840 WHAS. I love you, Ma.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.